Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. David Horsager is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. David is a business strategist, an entrepreneur, a professor, the author of a new best-selling book, The Trust Edge, How Top Leaders Gain Faster Results, Deeper Relationships, and a Stronger Bottom Line. That sounds like foundational language to me, doesn't it, to you? And he's here to talk to us about this, a highly acclaimed new book, and I'm very proud of him for that. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Jim. Great to be on.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book, by the way. It's beautiful. It's well done. It's on a topic that my audience knows that that I care greatly about. This issue of trust is something I've been talking about for a long time. I'm glad you're covering it.
Well, thanks. I think it's the most important topic there is to cover. You know, fundamentally, I believe a lack of trust is your biggest expense. And I don't care if it's at home with your family, at work, when you're starting a business, or when you're trying to gain investors, or whether you're selling something or anything else. You know, a lot of people ask me, well, how do you tell me the newest closing technique? And my view is, without trust, you don't get in the door today. With trust, you don't need a technique or manipulation. So fundamentally, you know, we did two big parts of the research, and one was, first, does trust really affect the bottom line like we believe it does? And frankly, I believe it does. And then secondly, how do you actually build? A lot of people think they know how to build trust, and there's been a lot of research on how what destroys trust, but not a lot on what exactly specifically builds it for, you know, for the brand or business owner or anything.
It's the intangible that is the foundation of everything else, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But what you talk about in your book is how to turn that tangible, the tangible foundation into actual building blocks that you can see.
Right. A lot of people will say to me something like it's intangible, like it's the intangible like that, like it's not measurable or something. You know, what we found is trust absolutely is measurable. It is tied to the bottom line. To impact more than anything else. Think of it this way for a second. If you think trust is just a soft skill, ask Tiger Woods.
Right.
one breach of trust for hundreds of, as far as we know, and he lost millions in weeks, hundreds of millions by now. Penn State's projected to lose $1 billion over the next decade because of a breach of trust.
Just think about that. I mean, that's the Penn State thing is an amazing example.
Your credit score is a trust score. The more you're trusted by a lender, the less you pay over the course of the loan. It's absolutely your supply you trust. One calls enough. The supply you don't trust. You look at page 20. You've got the book in front of you. You look at page 20, and you see every time trust went up just a little bit in this cool little infographic, productivity went up. Cost went down. Impact went up. Creativity went up. Innovation went up. All these things changed when trust went up just a little bit.
Let's talk about some of these building blocks, and that's what I'm. Sure. That's my term for them. You actually use the term 8 pillars of trust. So so we're building this building of trust here, folks. We're building this structure that's very important. And if you think about it, I mean, this is a topic, and in my opinion, in the 21st century, we need to talk about this more, maybe than ever before. David, and so what's the first pillar that you talk about in the book?
The first pillar of the most trusted leaders and organizations of all time is clarity. People trust the clear, and they mistrust or distrust the ambiguous.
So, how many times have people said to me, Jim, one of the reasons I do business with you is because, you know, you shoot straight. You say it like it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And people gravitate to that, don't they?
They absolutely do. I mean, think of the leader that's unclear about the vision. It's very hard to follow them. one of the main reasons people don't buy from certain salespeople is because they're unclear about the benefits.
Right.
They might be clear about how cool they are and how long they've been in business, but they're unclear about the benefits of what they're selling, and so I don't buy. The manager that has unclear expectations, or frankly the parent or teacher that has unclear expectations, it's hard to trust them. It's hard to follow them. And people think they're clear when they're not. So in the book,
What's happening when I think I'm being clear, but it's not coming across that way? What's happening there?
Well, you know, you have to really know if you're clear or not as a manager. You've got to ask for feedback. You've got to vet this. I mean, we have a bigger hill to climb than ever before. For instance, as leaders or as entrepreneurs, because look, we are in a noisy world, and it is so noisy that if we're not absolutely clear, you know, we have problems. You've got the tension. Even in, let's just take naming something. Should we call ourselves some weird wacky name, Google Zanglofaco, or so we're all creative and wacky,
right?
Or should we call ourselves Bob's Buzz Cuts?
Right.
Well, if you have a huge, huge, huge billion-dollar budget, you can call yourself Google, or you can call yourself
Nike,
which no one would know what it means,
right,
except for that you make it. And it has to be a brand that people wear or see every day, mm-hmm, like Google or Nike. But if you, in fact, just give a service industry, some of these service industry people want to call themselves Zango Muco, and nobody knows what it means. They don't have a billion-dollar budget, and they wonder why people don't come to them when they're just given a buzz cut.
Let me give you another. Let me extend this out to the customer, to a small business and a customer. If you've given your people the responsibility and the authority, and when they promise something to your customer, you stand behind them, that's clarity of trust, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So that's an example, in my opinion, of how you turn, or if your salesperson, or if you're the person dealing with a customer makes a mistake or whatever, and you don't handle it well, then you've just lost the trust. Now, maybe you thought you were doing the right thing from a business standpoint, but here's another thing, in my opinion, David, if you think more transaction, let me rephrase it, if you think about things when you're working something out, if you think more relationship than transaction, you're more likely to demonstrate clarity of trust. What do you think, David?
That's absolutely true, and that gets into some of the other pillars.
Well, and which we're going to talk about right after this break with David Horsager. The book is called The Trust Edge. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
On the wire, just to catch my breath. I don't know how and where, but I'm going. It's all that I have.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.